Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this 30th of December. It's very nice to have you with us. We have a wonderful panel. Well, we always have a wonderful panel, but we have a wonderful panel today as well. And I'll introduce them to you. I will also let you in on how you can be a part of our conversation. It's very easy. WAMC.org/roundtable. Just go to the webpage. You'll see where it says panel, and you click on that, and you can put in your comment, and we'd love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org as well. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get started for this morning. I thought it was going to be difficult to find stories at the year end, but it was not difficult at all. There's all kinds of good stuff to talk about. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
So, Joe, are you off tomorrow?
I just got a notification. The calendar.
Know.
Right. Just a reminder that it's my 48th birthday tomorrow.
Who reminded you?
Apple. I don't know. Apple.
Apple,
I guess.
God.
Yeah.
Thanks, Apple.
There's a little present with a red bow on it, but there you go. So if you
have an Apple body, are you more likely to die?
Apple and the pear.
I can never remember which.
Well, either one is good, right? Is that true?
Right.
No, they want a string bean now.
Right.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Well, supposed to be
I'm going to live forever.
Well, you're not bad, Mike, either. Yeah. You know, let's be real. It's Joe and I that have 12 lives ahead of us.
We're clearly happy to have made 48.
Or 57. Or 58 soon. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Me, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Sweetheart, I was
no
your
idea
student.
You were that
How
old.
How long ago was I your student? 34 years ago.
Yay. Mike Spain is here. He was here yesterday. He's here today. I put him in an uncomfortable spot, asking him if he could join us on the air yesterday. He said yes.
And I followed through.
And he actually followed through. That was very nice. So.
Happy to be here, Joe. on the eve of your 48th birthday.
Thank you very much. And Libby Post, who does join us each and every Wednesday, and so thrilled to have her back as well. Good morning,
thank you,
Libby.
So much.
And I should mention that Mike is the associate editor of the Times.
Oh yeah,
and I don't have the proper titles here. And Libby is a political consultant. All right, now that everybody knows the players, we will get. We'll get to business and talk about the news of the day. Let us begin with
the quickest story that there is.
Hold on.
While you're doing that, let me just mourn with the WAMC family.
Yes.
Judy Miller, Alan, our wonderful Alan Miller's. He was the patron saint and always has been of WAMC. And his wonderful wife passed. We all here want to commiserate, you know, about that because she was a wonderful woman and a great force. So.
Thanks. Very, very sad, and we certainly give the family our wishes and deepest sympathies.
Yeah.
The top story, and the minute this came over the wire, I was like, I just wish I could hear Alan right now. And it was funny because I had just gotten off the phone with you, and when it came through, but George Pataki has decided that he is going to drop out of the presidential contest.
He's a wise man.
Yes.
He's a wise man. That's not easy to figure that. Right when you're in the top thick of it, you've been demoted from the children's table to the infants table at the debates.
The undercard debate, you mean.
Well, that's the difference between
table.
You and me, Mike. You're nice.
You call it what it is.
I think Alan's suggesting that it's he's lucky to even be in the room.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but I do understand it. The wonderful folk singer Christine Lavin had a song, but what could he have been thinking? You know, I mean, people believe that if they were the governor of New York three times, they have an absolute free pass to, but as if anybody knew
cares.
Who he was at the time.
Right. I mean, he was thinking, I'd like to be vice president. I'd like a position on the cabinet. I'd love to be the secretary of the interior. That's what he was thinking.
Well, he also brought some reasonable conversation to the undercard debates, to the children's table debates. He was moderate. He was not out on the limb. He couldn't get any traction because that doesn't fly these days.
No, and even Kasich, who is the other, you know, is those of people who said, well, if we have to get somebody reasonable, it'll be Kasich,
right.
Because you get Ohio and you'll, you know, you'll win and all that. So, you know, I think Pataki just really was a prisoner of his own.
Well, he could not deliver New York the way that Kasich can deliver Ohio, probably.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You think not?
Oh, I think not. Especially if you have the former U.S. Senator from New York running. But
you just made a very good point I want to say really quickly. I thought the die was cast when Alphonse, who was his prime sponsor, said, I believe he was for Kasich very early.
So Alphonse D'Amato was for Kasich.
Yeah. And he was the guy who got Pataki elected in the first place. I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And knew what he was doing. And he said, basically, can you imagine being a fly on the wall when George was asking D'Amato for his help and D'Amato was saying no?
So it is safe to say, how do I put this nicely? It's safe to say that I'm just interested in your thoughts on Pataki. I mean, obviously, you kids have a history.
We do.
Okay. So, but if you look at a guy running for president who's a supporter of abortion rights, is a supporter of environmental conservation, he is a very middle-of-the-road Republican. What does that say in this current field, which now, by the way, is down still to 12 people.
Right.
12 people
Count
running
them,
for 12. President.
Well, one dozen.
No. I mean, it's let there be no mistake about it. He and his partners in whatever decided that they were going to take the money away just from WAMC by changing the formula for how money is given out, state money is given out. I could have lived with it if everybody said nobody gets money. But when you change the formula, and the formula was at the time changed so that you either had to belong to a university as a radio station or to a public television station, why would you do that unless somebody else was sitting at the table with you? So you know, it was personal between us. There's no question about it. And yet, if you look at him on paper, he's not bad.
Except that he sort of went off the rails on the whole Islamic radical piece.
Well, he had to find something.
You know, he was like, if I, you know, I'm okay with killing him, and, you know, if that calls me a traitor or whatever, you know, he just sort of went off because he had nothing else to do. I mean, what this shows is that the Republican Party is really off the rails in terms of mainstream thinking. If somebody, you know, he is your typical Rockefeller.
Off the rails, but it is certainly to the right.
To the right.
To the right, to the right of George Pataki, certainly.
Yeah. Well, he's a typical Rockefeller Republican.
Who is? That's correct.
Pataki.
Pataki. I mean, he's in the Rockefeller
mold.
He's in the Rockefeller mold of being moderate on social issues and fiscally conservative. I mean, that's
I don't think Rockefeller was that fiscally conservative.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But he was.
But he came out of that mold.
But he certainly was progressive.
Well, Libby, I just don't agree with you. I mean, I don't think he was the same sort of guy.
Yeah, but the thing is this. If Rockefeller wasn't governor for as long as he was governor, I think that quite possibly the Republican Party would have turned, in this state, would have turned further to the right quicker. And Rockefeller kept them middle of the road, even a little left of center on some issues.
And some of his, you know, colleagues like Jake Javits.
Yeah, right.
For all you kids who are out there right now who don't remember who he was. A standing liberal Republican in the United States Senate.
He had Liberal Party endorsement when he ran.
I mean, this was a time when Ned Reagan was controller forever, and he never got involved in anything political.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were a lot of good Republicans back then.
Well, he was, George Pataki, that is, was certainly the product of that Republican party in New York State, which is very different than the National Republican Party. But, Alan, as a political scientist,
Thank you for that.
Republican primary process is not the same as the Republican Party, though. I mean, it generates a very far-right product, while the Republican Party might be more moderate, wouldn't you say?
You know, I just don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, you know, certainly one could have said that 10 years ago. But now, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, these guys are all worried about losing primaries. And you lose primaries now. The fact that all Republicans don't come out and vote in primaries is maybe the issue here. But I think that group has moved strongly to the right.
Oh, well. I think Pataki's strong words about terrorism were trying to evoke connect him back to his leadership after the 9/11
he needed something right-wing, extraordinarily right-wing, and he found it.
He worked very hard in New Hampshire and was unable, and yesterday pretty much said that he felt he needed New Hampshire. He was not making the tracks in New Hampshire that he had hoped to make and felt that it was time to
Would you guys hire him on if you're a Republican presidential candidate as the vice presidential candidate?
I don't think he can deliver New York. I don't know what value he would be, except that he might represent a more moderate position that
might they could move
some,
to the they so yeah. that the
they
candidate
move
could
to
move
the
like
center.
They're at the center a little bit.
Just because
but
I asked
Kasich the, has that, I think.
Just because I asked the question doesn't mean I believe it for a single second.
Right.
He will not be the vice presidential candidate.
No.
All right. So let us let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about other campaign stuff, and we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley, investing funds from donors and nonprofits to support education, culture, and community needs in Dutchess, Putnam, and Ulster counties. CFHVNY.org. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. And Binghamton University, dedicated research in mood disorders to help predict what causes depression. Binghamton.edu.
Doing a little white rigging here. All right, welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We have letters. Let's get to some letters.
Oh boy, John wants to remind me that I'm misquoting Christine Lavin, and here's his letter. The song is an erudite stentorian. What could he have possibly been thinking? It's what was he thinking?
Okay.
It's similar to what you would yell at your teenager. That's what he says.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for that, John. And Joel says, Pataki would not likely take New York in a general election, but I have a feeling Trump will. Great show. Happy birthday, Joe, and have a great New Year's. New Year's.
Years. I'll have a couple of them.
Yeah. We all should have more than one good New Year's.
Joel, right. but I have to say... I disagree with the thrust of this letter.
Right.
He will not beat Hillary in New York State.
No,
Trump
not
will
by
not
a long
beat
shot.
Hillary in New York State. Now, Mike is making a grimace.
No. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I think he won't have to because I don't think he's going to get the nomination. That's my personal opinion. Although we've all been shocked that Donald Trump is still way ahead.
We'll see what happens in the next 6 weeks.
When we come back, we're gonna. Do you have any more letters, Alan?
There are.
Okay,
a few
so
more.
We'll get to some more letters. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about the other Nate poll, where an interesting article, Nate Cohn on polls and that about primary polls being predictive, and how predictive they are when it comes to this time in the race, as exactly what Libby just said. We'll see what happens over the next 6 weeks. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, we'll have a few more letters before we go over to our news break.
A few may be a bit of an exaggeration.
Well, then we can fill in with something else.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
This is from Jay. How many minutes do we have?
We have a minute and a half.
Okay. This is from Jay.
Okay.
GOP. You all, I'm going to fill them in half.
Grand old party.
You all keep speaking of the GOP as though it's a political party. It isn't. It's a radical insurgency with no interest in parliamentary politics or governance. It simply wants to rule. Let's be honest here, Jay. That doesn't sound so different from all politicians in terms of wanting to, you know, to rule and
to get into the
catbird seat. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So that is what I have to say
okay.
about Jay's letter.
My father used to refer to that as dictating to a stonecutter.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the sort of way of, yeah,
well, you,
halting okay. your speech.
Susan Arbetter, who used to work on the
yes,
station,
yes.
she used to talk about a relative as a slow talker.
A slow talker.
Yeah,
that's
slow
right.
Talker.
Absolutely. now, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to go on to other issues. As I mentioned, this really interesting article, I thought anyway, in the New York Times by Nate Cohn about the predictability of polls. And when it comes to the caucuses and primaries that we're about to enter in only a few weeks, believe it or not. We've been talking about this in only a matter of, 21 days or so, we'll have our first voting, which is pretty interesting. We will be back. We'll continue the program after this short break. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Nate Cohn of the New York Times has an article in the Times today that says, are primary polls finally predictive? No, but this is when the fun starts, he says. Nate Cohn, who follows such things, says you have undoubtedly heard the primary polls aren't necessarily very predictive far from an election. With just a month to go until the Iowa caucuses, I'm writing to tell you that it's still true. Yes, even with that little time left until Iowa, the first contest of the 2016 race, there's more than enough time for candidates with little or no support to surge to victory, for forgotten former frontrunners to mount a comeback, or for strong and consistent poll leaders to collapse abruptly.
Wait, are you telling us Pataki got out too early?
Pataki
got out too early.
That's what he's saying. Exactly. That's exactly what
hey,
that means.
We, you know, everybody get a basin in front of them, as in Hasten Jason, get the basin, because we have said so many times, this is absolutely par for the course, that when you take a poll, it is a snapshot in
right.
time, and
right.
that happens to be true. That's one of those sort of idiomatic things that we all say to each other. And things do get clarified, and things do change as you get closer and people get more responsible. Look, somebody who may be saying, I'm for Donald Trump. He says what he thinks. You know, I like that. He said what he thinks.
I wouldn't vote for the guy.
Well, not until...
It's not that. It's that these people don't vote.
Yeah, well...
His people... Yeah. They're seeing that his people, the people's like who are coming out, do not have a history of voting. And a primary is all about the ground game. And he doesn't have a ground game. And he thinks he's going to be able to win it by just through his mouth and earned media, because he hasn't spent that much on paid media.
No, he talked
media.
This morning about it. He was going to spend
$2 million, which is nothing,
a week.
Really, when you think about it. And he didn't say $2 million in each state or $2 million all told in the two or three states that... You know, the primaries are coming up. But this is a ground game, folks. And if you don't have people on the ground, if you don't have a field operation, you're not going to win, because it's about pulling people out. And who's going to go? And if you're not somebody who goes to caucuses in the middle of February in Iowa routinely, you're not going to come out.
But there's another way of looking at this, and that is that Barack Obama won. He beat Hillary because he got a non-traditional voting crowd to come out. He motivated people.
But he had
of color.
A ground game.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's the difference.
That's true.
Right.
On the other hand, people who did not ordinarily vote, a lot of people did not ordinarily vote, turned out to vote for the guy.
Sure, but he had a ground game. And
he
that's
got people
the
to the caucuses. Obama did.
Yeah.
And
right.
that's how he won.
Right.
And, although, as everybody is noting, that Donald Trump doesn't have a team on the ground out there gathering, getting ready to bring people to the caucuses. Mm-hmm. He's claiming that he's going to be doing that in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a little late, but that's okay. Let's see what happens.
Who knows? It is stunning.
It could be
though.
The miracle in February.
But anything could happen. That's true. Mm-hmm. We could see some changes, because I do think as people get closer, my point a little earlier was, they begin to take their responsibilities as citizens
right.
a little bit more seriously. So if you get a guy saying basically fascistic things like no Muslims or send them all back or whatever he's saying lately.
Just what I was going to ask you. This article makes the point that at this time, that Howard Dean in 2004 seemed like the guy to be the nominee. He had everything in his favor. And then there was the infamous Scream speech, and everything collapsed, and it went down very, very quickly. Well, to Alan's point, we have a candidate now who is making daily headlines for outrageous things that he says. None of them seem to have any great impact, in as far as poll numbers anyway. And
they don't hurt him either. I mean, it's
that's what I mean. I'm just wondering as to will that apply here? That logic that as it says here, things can change quickly. Okay, but we've been in this now for quite a while. We've seen all of these outrageous things. And I'm just wondering, I mean, with something as simple as a scream that took this guy out of the running, you got to wonder what it is now when you have somebody who's being so...
It certainly can change overnight.
Yes.
But I think that people who respond to polls when you get a call on the phone, and that's a skewed number these days because of cell phones and people not having, you know, landlines or not
answering.
Well,
let's even assume they know what they're doing.
Right.
Because every once in a while they do this cell phone thing. They got ways of dealing with that.
Right. They do. That's correct. You remember the Virginia governor, Wilder?
Mm-hmm.
He was ahead by something like 30 points. He only won by a couple of percentage points, clearly indicating that people are not honest when they're polled.
Especially about a black candidate.
Right.
Well, now, somebody has suggested, I read something recently, that it's opposite with Trump when they are called at home. Are you going to vote for Trump? And they say, well, no, I don't think so. But when they get in the poll, they might
could
vote
be.
For him. I mean, it's almost a reverse Wilder effect. So it could be, you know, we don't know.
The other thing about, you know, okay, so Dean did the scream and that was it for him. Trump has been screaming the entire time. And he doesn't apologize for anything. And he's constantly being a bully. And it's resonating with a certain group of people who are disaffected and don't trust government. And those are the people who don't vote. So it'll be interesting to see if he can turn those supporters into actual voters. And that's where you
the
need
ground team.
The ground game right. comes yeah. into play. Yeah. You need to have a field operation. You need to have phones. And he's not listening to any political... you know, professional political consultants or experts on how to run his campaign. So
you know that how?
From everything I've read.
Yeah, I've read that kind of stuff too. But I do think there is a sort of profound political wisdom in what he's doing. In other words, he's become an entertainer
yes.
to the masses.
Right.
He knows that works. And he's probably got a cadre of people around him who are helping him understand that.
Former apprentices are going out on...
Yes, that's
stump
right.
For him. I
that's
saw that
right.
Last
some
night.
Of his TV apprentices.
That'll help.
Yeah, that really will help.
So just to give you some numbers here for what it's worth, 30 days before the Iowa or New Hampshire caucuses/primaries, according to this Nate Cohn article, that and Libby's right. This chart is difficult to read, but I'll do my best here. Newt Gingrich was in 2012 was polling at 30%,
and he ended up at
like 12%.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, you have somebody like Rick Santorum who was polling 30 days before at 7%, and then in Iowa came in second, but he came in at 24%.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's looking to prove the point that the polls can be very volatile and can certainly give you an indication that the last minute and over in a month we'll be talking about some very different names than we're talking about now.
It could be the
fewer
field
names.
The field.
I hope so.
The field is very weak, in my opinion. And one of the reasons there are still 12 people in it is because the field is not defined. In other words, you don't have an Ike Eisenhower or somebody sort of leading the way here. You have a bunch of disparate people who are not turning – no one of whom is turning potential voters on, really turning them on. So I think that explains the volatility of it. It could. And I think it explains why anything could happen right now because people are not happy with the choices.
What's interesting is that they're going after Rubio. I watched the Jeb Bush Super PAC commercial this morning that they're going after Rubio for not showing up, you know, in Senate. So they're starting to see him as a potential usurper, which we've talked about before. And they so now they're continuing. They're upping their game in terms of attacking each other, which plays into Hillary's hands.
Trump is going after Ted Cruz also, right. and trying to destroy
Every time one of the sharks gets close, you want to take a bite out of it, make sure it doesn't.
And it's interesting how, Ben Carson is, like, totally out of it now.
Who?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I said the same thing about George
Pataki. Well, not only is he out of it, but he just seems to be very
withdrawn.
He's being very conciliatory, just basically saying, if this is what it takes to be president, I don't want to. I mean, I'm playing the game for a while, but I don't. Yeah. He doesn't really.
People apparently don't want a soft-spoken president.
Yes, his heart. Definitely is not in it.
Who's the Wizard of Oz? Which character? That if I only had a brain, who was
the Scarecrow?
The Scarecrow, yeah.
Right. And don't pay any attention to the man
behind the curtain.
Roger Ailes.
Right.
So what happens? And obviously, all eyes now are on Iowa and New Hampshire. But then beyond that, if you come out, if you are Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, then how do you do in those states? And the next step, assuming that Trump does not do as well as originally polled.
Well, we have a long history of not doing what New Hampshire and Iowa have to say. So it could be anything, but Super Tuesday really does become the defining moment of the campaign. I still can't believe I was sitting in an airport. I don't know whether this has anything to do with anything. I'm sitting in an airport, and we're all waiting to see, who John McCain is going to name as his vice president.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the CNN screen comes out, with the Sarah Palin, Alaska governor, of New Hampshire. And I'm scratching my head and said, what the heck is this? People make mistakes. They don't vet. They don't do what they need to do.
Are you kidding?
She was a game changer,
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. And stole the Democrats' media for about 10 minutes. And then all she had to do was open her mouth and that was it.
And that was a lot of more media, but maybe not the right kind.
Well, no. Yeah. What magazines do you read?
Yeah.
There you are.
And that was a trick question.
Somebody's going to write you and say, that was snotty, Libby.
Oh, well. Mm. Life goes on.
What kind of...
It was newspapers, right? It was Katie Couric asked her.
Yeah. What magazines do you read?
And what do you read? And she couldn't answer. I read a lot of stuff.
Right. She couldn't answer. I mean, it's like, give me a break. You couldn't answer. What is it? I mean, really.
Okay, but we've already seen that several times with many of these candidates, including
Ben Carson.
Mistakes
can be made. Yeah. Grotesque mistakes can be made.
The problem is now that Sarah Palin said that, 8 years ago, you can't ask that question anymore. And people are like, so what?
Well, they'll have an answer ready. Now, tell them you read.
Yeah.
Or
people are like, we don't care. We don't want to read. We don't read. I don't read. People are like, well, I'm with Sarah because I don't read magazines either.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple letters. We'll get to those. And then we will talk about other things and move on as well. You're listening to the Roundtable Panel on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. CSEA. People Working Together, A Better New York for All, CSEANY.org. The Stafford Owens Law Firm, advising North Country and Canadian clients in matters of cross-border trade and business law, PlattsburghLawyers.net. And Kasserie Hudson, curated fashion from international designers including Issy Meake, Comme des Garçons, and Vivian Westwood, Kasserie.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Who wants to explain affluenza to me?
Oh, God. It's when you have too much. You have so much money, you think you're above the law.
So you
It's not. It's when you are afflicted with the inability to tell the difference between right and wrong because you've had it. So you've been so abundantly taken care of during your life.
Well, to be fair about this, without getting myself sued or into too much trouble, there are not only people on trial for crimes, and they get a psychiatrist to say the best thing they could do is to say, well, you know, this child had been brought, had affluenza, meaning that he had been brought up in a rich family during that thing. But also we have adults in this place. Some living right around here who have affluenza. They have affluenza. They think they can write anything, say anything. You could sue me, you know, but I could out-sue you because I have more money and it would cost you a fortune.
Are you speaking about the Republican presidential candidate?
No.
No, okay.
I'm talking about people who I know, or as Arlo would say, I know some of them personally, you know. He once sang a song, and he said,
and "There you go."
About women being in the Russian army.
So the story we're talking about is rightfully so.
Get us back to reality.
No. It's Ethan Couch, 18 years old. He was had a successful defense that he should not go to prison for killing four people in a drunken driving accident because he was too rich and spoiled take responsibility.
I'm sorry.
An arrest warrant was issued in Fort Worth for Mrs. Couch on a charge of hindering apprehension punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. The Texas teenager, who is facing the prospect of a court hearing that could have sent him to jail, so he and his mother held a kind of farewell celebration with friends, and they got into their black Ford pickup, and they disappeared.
He should be in jail. And in jail for 10 to 20 years, if not longer. He killed four people. This is the typical, I'm not responsible, I don't need to be responsible attitude because I have money. People with money aren't raised with the notion of right or wrong. This is just, it's just reprehensible that the courts in Texas, but I'm not surprised, that the courts in Texas bought this argument.
Oh, did they buy it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Back in 2013.
Sure,
they
did.
He was a drunk driver that crashed into a car, he was let off with a slap on the wrist
yeah. and probation, and he couldn't drink anymore, and he still wanted to drink and go to parties, so they left the country.
They ditched their IDs. They drove deep into Mexico while law enforcement agencies in two countries searched for them across 1,200 miles. And then the search ultimately ended Monday night with the arrest of Tanya
Vallarta.
Puerto Vallarta.
So this sounds more like not affluenza, but motherenza.
Well,
I think, Alan, you're exactly right. I think that the culprit here is the enabler who got him through the first crisis and used some specious defense that I spoiled him, so he shouldn't be blamed for his actions. And then she's taking him out of the country when he's possibly going to face some other prosecution.
Right. And if this was a black youth who did the same thing.
Well, forget about the same thing. How about robbing a loaf of bread?
Yeah, he'd already be in jail.
Well, Libby, you make such a good point, but I disagree with one thing profoundly that you said.
Which is?
He should be in jail for 20 years. He should be in jail forever.
For life. Right.
Well, four deaths.
For four deaths.
Now, let me ask a question. I guess this is a part of the story that I'm not quite sure on. So why were they, he had the successful defense in 2013. Why were they bringing, they left the country, and why were they bringing them back?
Well,
he was still in probation.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
She committed a crime by enabling him to escape.
I see.
And
she
he didn't show up for his probation meeting, and that's a violation.
So even then, by bringing him to, it says here under Texas law, he can be held in a juvenile facility if the juvenile court keeps control of his case only until he turns 19, which will be in April. If the case is transferred to an adult court and move her office is seeking, he could be held in an adult jail for up to 120 days as a condition of probation.
Big deal.
But it's not, this has nothing to do with the original.
Yeah.
As she said, we're still bound by the original sentence.
Which is insane. It's just insane.
Does
from the district attorney.
Is there such a thing as a poor ENSA? In other words, if you're poor, is that a good defense if it's
no,
good
no, for rich? That means that you get thrown in jail and fined and
Yeah,
you have,
I see.
You have high bail and you have to go into debt and you have to lose your house and that kind of stuff.
I get that part. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, you know, these parents are divorced and the father is like, I have nothing to do with this.
Libby, for want of, if you're not watching this,
streaming,
she just sort of made a gesture with her hands.
Right, yeah.
Which
like,
is,
I'm done.
I'm done with this. I'm watching
this.
I'm done with this.
Wash this man right out of here.
That's right.
Mary Martin, you know.
And wife.
Mary Martin, who?
Delinquent right out of my ear.
Mary Martin, who?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so while Joe is reading the latest, what'd you say?
Are there any letters?
Oh, yeah, there's a letter. Okay, here's a letter from Joe. Or in Palinese, do any of these panelists know what abstinence means? And that's from Joe.
Yeah, I know what it means.
Yeah, I know what it means. I've done that enough. And then Daniel says, I do find it curious that those who totally
you do.
Sorry,
you
Rose.
Did.
Wow.
I do find it curious.
Yeah, let's not go there, okay?
I have to go home.
you do have to go home.
I do find it curious that those who totally trust government find it it's silly that people actually don't trust government. I'm not capital N sure if the research has ever been, but I wonder throughout history if you took the cumulative damage done to society by their own government, murder, suppression, abuse, and compared same things done by outside forces, what the results would be. And then it goes on, and too many characters. Okay, so, and then Tom wants you to know, Libby, that you're a little bit better lit than you were before. You know, Tom watches that.
Anything for
Libby,
you, Tom.
She's lit today.
I am lit.
And Dennis says, happy birthday to Joe and happy New Year to all. Polls are often crafted to elicit responses on specific issues. Many who vote do not participate or are not that concerned or interested in pollsters' framed questions. Also, many respondents lie so as not to defend. And Deanne writes a profound letter. I agree with Alan. No matter what, unfortunately, there are enough very conservative people who like Trump. We can't discount it. Deanne. Okay.
So the this was the news that the AP News alert David Gustina brought into us. Prosecutors in Pennsylvania are set to announce whether Bill Cosby will be charged over an encounter with a woman 12 years ago. This is out of Norristown, Pennsylvania, my hometown,
really?
Oddly enough. Montgomery County prosecutors say they will announce the results of the new investigation. A former Temple University employee told police the comedian drugged and violated her at his home near Philadelphia in 2004. This is the first case, from my knowledge, this is the first case that would have come forward that would not
within the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
So Cosby's lawyer,
some habits are hard to get rid of,
declined to comment on the case before the announcement. The 78-year-old comedian previously said under oath that he had consensual sexual contact with the woman. A previous district attorney declined to charge Cosby in 2005. Prosecutors reopened the case as new evidence was unsealed in the woman's related civil case, and dozens of women came forward with similar accusations. So that'll be coming up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Whoa.
I
have a very good friend who knows him very well who said he's not guilty of any of this.
Yeah. And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you.
No, people who knew him, you know, defend him.
No, I understand. You know, he has countersued many of the women, but we still correct, and I think we should remember this. We still have him under oath, admitting
that he drugged women.
That he drugged
used
women.
Used quaaludes, basically.
Right. Yes.
Right.
To have sex with. And so I guess in the charges in the countersuits that he has filed, apparently he is saying not with those particular women.
But I've done it to others.
So what you have here is just like the Shelley Silver, just wait. Let me explain that.
I'm waiting.
The Shelley Silver and Dean Skelos trials. You get juries who may not care about the specifics. They really care about the culture of the way things are going. So those two guys were there at the wrong moment and get I'm not saying that they were innocent. They weren't. But they get convicted more easily because of the tenor of the times.
But doesn't this become, in the minute we have left, this becomes a very different case if there are rape charges and a criminal, which I assume at that point he would be arrested and then would post bail, and then you would go through a very lengthy court process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. No, it's once again, because we talk about this all the time, unfathomable that anybody would put themselves at risk, even if their character was bad, this way. But that's what arrogance is all about.
Yes, yeah.
Well, thank you for that, David. And we will we'll hold it there for today. My thanks to everybody for joining us this morning. Thank you very much to Libby. Libby, Happy New Year. We won't see you next week, but we'll see you the week after.
Yes.
And thank you very much. Michael, Happy New Year to you. We'll see you next Tuesday, as we always do.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Joe. Sure.
And we'll, Alan will be here tomorrow, and Ira and Ray and Barbara Smith.
That'll be a great
You were a great tax deduction for your parents.
I was.
Being born on New Year's.
They reminded me of that often, actually. Speaking of
yes.
tax deductions.
Yes. Oh, get your money in now. Go to WMC.org and get your money in now.
And we don't want to tell tales out of school.
No,
but the lockbox is doing great.
It's doing wonderfully well.
Really, really well.
And we have no idea what's going on. People are putting a lot of money into the lockbox,
and we're very happy, and we want to continue because
bloated
lockbox.
No, it's not bloated because we're one fund drive away from being broke. It's that simple, and that's also true. We're one fund drive away.
But, so wouldn't it be nice? I mean, we had a 3 or 4 day fund drive last time because of the generosity of people at year end. We still have 2 days left. WAMC.org, WAMC.org.
And just put in the money. It's easy.
Do it.